Over the past several weeks, we have been camped out in Psalm 23. Anytime you teach a class or prepare for any type of lesson, as a teacher and a preacher, I believe you're probably challenged even more than the people that you're talking to. And over the course of the 6 or 7 weeks that we've been in this series, I've tried to examine my life and really ask myself, am I living what I'm preaching? We know what we should be doing as Christians. We know how we should be living day in and day out. It's the application part that is sometimes difficult, tough. And as I've looked at my life and how I've handled myself in certain situations, things that have come up, I don't think I depend on God enough. I don't think I rely on him enough. We're going to head back to Psalm 23 this morning. And the following statement is going to be the focus of our time here together. There is a difference between what we want and what we need. Now, there's a lot of things that we want in life. All of us, we could have a long list. I want this, I want this, I want this. It's just a never-ending list, and even when we get those things, there's just additional things that are added on. Okay, I've got this, now I would really like to have this. There's a difference between what we want and what we need. What do we need? What is it that we need for this life, for the next life? Sometimes we don't even know the answer to this question. What do I really need? God always knows the answer. God, he always knows what we need. Now, what would be on that list? If you were making a list of things that you need, absolute needs, we're not talking about wants, but if you're trying to compose a list of the things that you need, what would you put on that list? All through God's word, we find this beautiful word, this word Nahum. This word, it means comfort. There are going to be moments in our lives when we need this. There are going to be moments of desperation. There's going to be moments of distress, moments of temptation, moments when we fail, moments when we're just struggling with life. How can I keep going? How can I live another minute, another second, much less another day? There are going to be times when we need this comfort. There are going to be times when comfort rises above a want. I think all of us could say, I want to be comforted. But there are going to be times when in our lives, it's going to become a need. I need this. I desperately need this. These moments are often the darkest days that we ever know. Now, Israel as a nation, they had a few of these moments, probably more than a few. None greater, perhaps, than when they were dragged away into Babylonian captivity. Israel lost everything. When they were taken captive by Babylon because of the rebellion against God, they lost everything. I can't emphasize that enough to even realize what it would be like to lose everything that we have. You name it, they lost it, including their names. They weren't even allowed to keep their names. All you have to do is read through Daniel to see that. They didn't get to keep anything. They lost their homes. They lost their land. They lost their possessions. They lost their national relevance. They lost any power that they had. They lost their dignity. They lost their identity. They lost their pride. They lost it all. What did they need in the wake of all of this loss, if you were living as an Israelite back at this time, and you and your family, you're dragged away from your home, from your country, to this foreign land, what would you need? Israel didn't need to hear, "I told you so." They didn't need to hear, "You got what you deserved." This is what they needed to hear. Isaiah chapter 40, this is a turning point in the story of Israel. All the way up to Isaiah chapter 40, all the way up to this word comfort, the prophet has been telling, he's been begging, he's been pleading, he's been urging, whatever you can possibly do to try to get somebody to turn around. The prophet has been doing that. Change. Don't keep doing what you're doing. Live differently. Turn back to God. Repent. All the way up to this point. That was the message of the prophet. We know they didn't change. We know they didn't turn back. And so they were taken captive. And this is what God says to them. This is what the prophet shares with them next. "Comfort, comfort my people, says your God." Israel didn't need to be punished any further. You know, what else could they lose? You know, once you've lost everything, what else can they take? They needed hope. They needed help. They needed comfort. Our loving Father has always wanted to bring comfort to the needy, to the hurting. The work of the Holy Spirit is to do exactly that, to bring comfort. In the New Testament, John 14, 15, and 16, this is Jesus talking to the apostles just before he dies. Moments, literally, before he goes to the cross. And so Jesus, he's continuing to prepare his apostles, continuing to talk to them, to prep them, to do everything that he can possibly do to get them ready for what it's going to be like when he's gone. In these words, Jesus, he makes some promises to his apostles. I want you to look at John 14, 1 through 4 with me. "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me." Just right from this first statement in this chapter, we can tell that this is a difficult time for the apostles. Why would Jesus say to them, "Don't let your hearts be troubled"? Because their hearts were troubled. That's where they were right now. They were troubled. We know what happened just immediately before this in John 13. Jesus had washed the feet of the apostles. He's trying to show them how to live as a servant. And it's all getting ready for this moment when he's gone, when he's no longer walking with them day by day, physically. "Don't let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I am going." You try to imagine what this was like for the apostles. Try to imagine what they were going through emotionally, spiritually, you know, physically. Have you ever heard news that was just so bad, so difficult, that it just hurt you physically? You couldn't sleep, you couldn't eat. It was just news that was so disheartening. It affected you in every way that news could, physically, emotionally, spiritually. That's the apostles. That's what they're feeling right now. I don't think any of them were, "Hey, where's some food? I'm ready to eat. Where's the bed? I want to take a nap right now." Their minds were racing 1,000 miles an hour. What next? What are we going to do next? What are we going to do now? It had to be devastating. Everything in their lives was about to change. It's going to be different. Everything they had grown accustomed to, it was about to be turned upside down. Their existence, it would never be the same. It would never be like what they had experienced when Jesus was right beside them physically. When Jesus was leading the way, when Jesus was going through all of these villages, being the teacher, them listening to him. It wasn't going to be that way anymore. They were scared. That's the bottom line. They heard news that scared them to death. They were distraught. They were filled with uncertainty, doubt. This is one of those dark moments that I mentioned earlier. They probably felt a lot like Israel back in Isaiah. There's a lot of similarities. When Israel was taken away into Babylonian captivity, they lost everything. Everything was just thrown upside down. That's what happened to the apostles. What did they need in this moment? They needed help. And that's exactly what Jesus promised. Within this same conversation, you read John chapter 14, and what we're going to look at next, this is the same conversation that Jesus is having with them. Down in verse 16, Jesus, he's talking to men who are scared, who are distraught, who are not sure about what they're going to do next. This is what Jesus says to them. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. When we describe Jesus, when we think about what he's able to do for us, what he can bring to us, Jesus, it's just so big, so vast, everything that Jesus does, everything that he makes possible. Do we realize that he's our helper? We look at all of the ways that Jesus helped the apostles with teaching, with understanding, with coming to know who God was, what God was like. Do we see Jesus in this way in our lives? Jesus, he's my helper. But for the apostles, they say, yeah, Jesus, we know you helped us. If anybody understood what it was like to be helped by Jesus, it was the apostles. But now they're thinking, you're going to be gone. What do we do now? So Jesus says to them, another helper's coming. Verse 26. Same message, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. The work of the Holy Spirit, it includes helping God's people. Maybe that's at the top of the list. This is what the Holy Spirit does for us. It helps God's people. Just as God the Father helps us, just as Jesus, he helps us. The Holy Spirit, it helps us in our lives. Now, if you look at another translation of these exact same verses, you'll see that helper is translated comforter. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may be with you forever. And then verse 26, but the comforter, even the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. Isn't this exactly what the apostles needed? Here in this moment where they're like, wow, what do we do now? What do we do next? I don't even know what to do here in the next second. And Jesus had these huge plans for the apostles. I need you guys to go into all the world and preach the gospel to all people. And they're just thinking, what is our next step? How can we possibly go on? How can we possibly survive? Have you ever felt that way? How can I just even take one more step? Everybody at some point in life needs help. Everybody at some point in life needs comfort. This is one of the great things. There's so much in Psalm 23. I told one of my preacher friends, I've been in Psalm 23 for 8 weeks, and he kind of chuckled. And I said, I think I could stay there another 8 weeks at least. There's so much. This is one of the great themes of Psalm 23, that we can find comfort, that we can find help. Look at verse 4 with me again. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. That's what we looked at last week. The presence of God, the presence of our shepherd, it makes all of the difference. And now we're going to focus on the last part of this verse. Your rod and your staff, they protect me and they comfort me. We are constantly in need of comfort. Remember that statement that we started with. I threw it out there. This is going to be the focus of our lesson. There is a difference between what we want and what we need. We are constantly in need of comfort, in need of help. And God provides it. He gives it to us. And God, He does everything better than anybody else. Have you ever met a person in life, it just seems like they do everything better than everybody else? Well, whoever that person is, think about that individual. They're able to do anything. Whatever it is, you think, wow, they're great at finances, they're great in business, they're great athletically, they're great in school. Think about that person that they're just amazing at everything. God is better than that person. God is the best at everything. He loves better. He's more patient. He's more holy. He's perfectly holy. His mercy is better. And so is His comfort. A lot of people recently in the news have made light of the statement, "My thoughts and prayers are with you." We should never make light of that statement. Because if God is on our side, if we're turning our lives and our focus to God, if we're really doing that, if we're really thinking about people, and we're really lifting their name up to God, there is nothing else that we can do for that person that's more powerful. Nothing. It's a Father's touch that helps. It's a Father's hand that makes all the difference. It's the Father's love that enables us to move forward. And the imagery that we have here in Psalm 23, it's the shepherd, right? Leading the sheep through all of these difficulties, leading the sheep through the danger, leading the sheep to the water, leading the sheep to the grass. Those who are making their way along the dark mountain gorge, the shadow, remember that here in verse 4? We need an extra portion of God's help. To know that the Good Shepherd is near, it's a great comfort. I remember as a kid growing up, huge farm, going out at night, doing things. The presence of my dad, it made all the difference. If I was sent out on an errand by myself at night there on that big farm, there were moments I was scared to death. But if my dad was there, I didn't even think about it. Notice how David describes the Father's comfort. David, he declares that the rod and the staff bring him comfort. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Now the rod, it was a special club or weapon. You kind of see it pictured here on the left. It was a weapon of defense for the shepherd. If an animal came to attack the sheep, you whack that animal on the head. Get away. If there was some other danger, maybe some robber trying to take your sheep, you had something that you could protect those sheep with. You could use it when you needed it. The shepherd needed to be well armed. We often think about David with the slingshot. Boy, could he ever use a slingshot? Just ask Goliath. But David, he also had a rod, as shepherds did. And then you had the staff or the crook, pictured here on the right. It was used by the shepherd almost constantly to keep his own sheep in line, to count them as they came into the fold, to get them out of ravines or holes that they may have fallen into, to chastise them with such treatment when it was needed. Now, I've been disciplined many times by a rod. I don't think it was, it's kind of similar to this. Did I realize growing up, I can give you the answer, no. Did I realize at the time that my parents were helping me? That in a sense it was comfort to know that somebody cared enough about me to discipline me. David was very familiar with these tools, the rod and the staff. He had defended his sheep. He had protected his sheep. David fought against a lion and a bear. He knew the purpose of a rod. He knew the purpose of a staff. He had used them in his work as a shepherd. Now, how could these two instruments be expected to bring comfort? Why does David associate the rod and the staff with comfort? Just glancing over that might seem a little odd, maybe to us, but not to the Father. Go back to that question we started with. What do we need? What's on that list of things that we need in life? God, He always knows. He knows that we need protection from our enemy. He knows that we're in a battle, that Satan, he is out there and he's going to do everything that he possibly can do to break us, to drag us away from the Father. You think about the wolf that wants to drag the lamb away from the flock. Guys, that's what Satan wants to do with all of us. We're right here as the flock of Christ. Satan, he wants nothing more. Nothing can make him more happy than to drag one of us away by ourselves, to drag us away from the flock, to separate us from the Father. I'm sure most of us have seen at least one of the Rocky movies. I think there's about 30, so seen at least one of them. What do you expect when you watch a Rocky movie? Don't you go into a Rocky movie with certain expectations? You expect there to be some battle, some fight. You expect Rocky to be hitting slabs of meat or running through the snow or here more recently helping somebody else do those things. And you go to a Rocky movie, I don't care if Sylvester Stallone's 100 years old, he's in a Rocky movie and he's fighting a 20-year-old, I expect Rocky to win. I expect those things. What do you expect to happen this week in your life? What do you expect to encounter out in the world? Don't we know? Oh, we've lived it year after year. Don't we know what we're in for? The battles, the trials, the temptations, the face-to-face encounters with Satan. We need help. We need protection from our enemy. God provides it. Our Heavenly Father, He also knows that we need direction and correction. Who likes to be disciplined? I was an assistant principal for a time. All I did was discipline students. I never met one that enjoyed being disciplined. Who likes to be corrected? Who likes to be told, you're wrong? There are times when we need this. I've been reading some information on Aaron Hernandez, NFL player who got caught up, some bad stuff. He's dead. Took his own life. It's just tragic. And I was reading some of the things they were talking about when he was arrested for murder and he was placed in prison. And the prison guards were amazed at how quickly and easily he adjusted to prison life. And even some of the things that he would share with his mom. He loved the structure. He went from living in a probably $10 million house to living in a 5x5 prison cell. He enjoyed the discipline, the structure of it. And as that story just unfolds, the tragedy just grows in your mind. Here's a young man. He just needed discipline. He just needed he longed for it. I want us to close here back to Isaiah chapter 40. At this moment in history, Israel, they were in dire straits. And you look at what the prophet writes next, what he shares immediately after this. He promises comfort. God will comfort you. And then you look at what he says next. A voice cries in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level and the rough places a plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Do you see the prophet's message? He tells Israel, hey, you're in bad shape right now. I know you're in captivity, but God is still there. Comfort is available. And then we look at these words. Is it clear to you what the prophet is saying? Isaiah tells Israel, better days are coming. Better days are ahead. Why? Because of Jesus Christ. This is pointing Israel to Jesus, pointing them to the moment when the Savior is going to come. And that's not all he says. You look at verses 6 through 8. A voice says, cry. And I said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all its beauty is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades when the breath of the Lord blows on it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Just try to consider the implications of all of these words. Here's a place to stand. Israel, as a nation, you're wobbling. You don't know where to go. You don't know what's going to happen next. You've lost everything. Here is a place to stand. This is what the prophet writes to them immediately after being taken away into captivity. Guys, things are going to be okay, not because of you, but because of your God. You have a place to anchor yourself in the middle of all of this uncertainty. You have to see what God is doing because this is so big for our lives. Because just like Israel, just like the apostles, there are going to be moments in our lives when we are rocked to our core, when we are scared to death, when we don't know how we can possibly live. It's when we're heartbroken, devastated, when we have suffered loss upon loss. But the Father, he does this for us. He gives his people help when they need it. He reminds Israel that the Savior is coming. Jesus, doesn't that change everything? Doesn't Jesus change everything for us? He tells them that his word is in charge. Hey, Babylon, they're not in charge. It may look like it. I'm in charge. My word, it will stand forever. He provides them solid ground right in the middle of a raging earthquake. And all of this, it's available to us. You might be there right now. You might be like Israel right this very moment. You might be feeling like the apostles in John 14 when you're just heartbroken. The Savior has indeed come. He gave his life for us. Guess what? God's word is still here, and it will remain. What a blessing to be able to say, we have everything we need. If you have Jesus, and you've got the word of God, you have everything that you need. If you have a need this morning, we invite you to come as we stand and sing together.